Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back. Today, we're diving into something really special. It's the autobiography of Steve Wozniak, I Was.
Yeah, and it's more than just a tech memoir, isn't it?
Absolutely. You might think, okay, Silicon Valley history, Apple beginnings, but it's deeper. It really gets into the heart of what drives a certain kind of innovator. We're calling it the engineer's heart. And the core idea in I Was, I think, is that technology fundamentally should be about empowering people, individuals.
Right, not just corporations or bottom lines.
Exactly. Wozniak makes this case that real innovation, the good stuff, it comes from passion, from, you know, engineers getting their hands dirty because they're genuinely curious.
Not just because market demands X, Y, or Z.
Precisely. It's about democratizing that computing power, putting these amazing tools into everyone's hands.
And Wozniak's perspective here is just unparalleled, really, because he wasn't just watching it happen.
No way.
He was the guy designing it. I mean, the Apple I, the Apple II, that was him single-handedly, a lot of it.
When the circuit's up.
Yeah. So his insights, they come from this incredibly deep technical place. He built the revolution in many ways.
Couldn't agree more. It's that mix, isn't it? The tech genius and this like pure curiosity you mentioned. That's his story.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today, we want to give you a real shortcut into Wozniak's thinking. Understand how this kind of shy engineer ended up sparking a global shift.
And what his journey means for us now. Still relevant.
Definitely. Okay, let's unpack this. Let's go back. Wozniak's childhood, 1950s, 60s, California.
Yeah.
Right there as Silicon Valley was just, you know, starting to bubble up.
And his dad looms large in the book. A Lockheed engineer.
Yeah, huge influence. He taught Woz that quality engineering.
Yeah.
It meant doing things the right way. No shortcuts.
Which is more than just technical advice, isn't it? It's like an ethical code.
Totally. A respect for science, for getting it right.
And you see that ethic playing out really early on. His fascination with electronics wasn't just about making stuff work. It was about making it work elegantly.
Elegant design, yeah. He talks about that a lot.
Maximum function, minimum components. It was like an art form for him. Think about those early projects.
Right, like the neighborhood intercom system.
Yeah, or building a calculator from scratch with hundreds of transistors. Just for the love of the challenge, the elegance of making it work beautifully.
And then there are the pranks. You can't talk about early Woz without the pranks.
Definitely legendary. But he saw them differently, didn't he?
He did. Not just being mischievous. He called them his earliest expressions of creative problem solving. Out-of-the-box thinking.
I mean, faking bomb threats with metronomes, messing with TV signals.
It sounds wild, but think about it. You have to understand the system to mess with it that cleverly.
Exactly. You need to know how it works to exploit its weaknesses. It's a kind of engineering, really. Reverse engineering systems, human or technical.
Yeah, finding the unconventional solution. That definitely becomes his trademark later.
It really does. That playful but rigorous approach.
Okay, fast forward a bit. He gets a job at Hewlett-Packard. HP.
Which he thought was like the dream job for life at the time. Great engineering culture there.
But then, the blue box. That pivotal story with Steve Jobs.
Ah, yes. The phone freaking device.
For Woz, building this thing to make free long-distance calls.
Yeah.
It was the ultimate technical puzzle, right? The elegant design challenge.
Yeah, tapping into that whole phone freaking subculture. Understanding the phone network's tones.
Mm.
It was fascinating to guys like him.
Just figuring out the system.
Exactly. Less about making free calls, more about, can I actually do this? Can I build this elegant little thing?
But for Jobs.
For Jobs, it was something else entirely. It was business, their very first entrepreneurial venture, really.
And right there, you see their dynamic established, don't you?
Absolutely. Woz the builder, driven by the pure challenge, Jobs the visionary, seeing the market potential instantly.
Even if it was slightly illegal potential at that point.
Yeah. Well, it shows how innovation can spark from unexpected places, not always from a corporate strategy meeting.
No, definitely not. More like from curiosity, maybe even a bit of rebellion.
And that technical insight, meeting that entrepreneurial drive, that's potent.
So around this time, there's also the Homebrew Computer Club. You can't overstate its importance, can you?
Oh, absolutely crucial. It was the crucible, as you said, not corporate R&D. Just hobbyists, enthusiasts.
Kind of anti-establishment, collaborative.
Totally. People bringing in their latest gadgets, sharing schematics, helping each other out. Total openness.
A perfect environment for Woz.
The perfect playground. He saw the Altair 8800 there, the first sort of kit computer.
Right, but it was limited.
Very limited, just lights and switches, basically, and was thought, I can do way better than this. I can build something useful.
Something that people could actually type on,
Yeah,
see on a screen.
exactly. Something that could empower individuals, not just be a tech puzzle.
And that leads right to the Apple I.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is, he designed it for himself and for his friends at Homebrew.
No plan to start a company. Zero.
It was Jobs who saw it and said, hey, we should sell these. Sell them as assembled boards, not just schematics.
And that decision, boom, changes everything.
History turns on moments like that.
But if the Apple, I was the spark, the Apple II, well, that was the masterpiece.
Oh, definitely. That's
Yeah.
where Woz's genius really shines and shapes the future.
Okay, so what made the Apple II so revolutionary? Let's break it down.
All right, first, the design itself. Integrated.
Whammy.
Keyboard, power supply, motherboard, all in one sleek plastic case. It looked like a finished product, not some industrial box or a kit. Huge leap in user-friendliness.
Made it feel approachable.
Exactly. Second, color graphics.
Deal back then.
Huge. And Woz figured out this incredibly clever, low-cost way to get color onto a regular TV screen. Nobody else was really doing that affordably.
Open the door for games, educational stuff.
Totally. Third, and this was maybe the most genius part, the expansion slots. Ah, yes, allowing add-ons.
Right. He built in these slots so users and crucially third-party developers could create new hardware and software for it. Sound cards, modems, memory cards.
It created an ecosystem, future-proofed it, in a way.
Absolutely. It wasn't a closed box, it was a platform. And
Yeah.
later, the Disk II drive.
The floppy disk drive made it practical.
Unbelievably practical. And again, his design for the drive controller was a marvel, used way fewer chips than anyone else's.
That simplicity and efficiency thing again?
Always. It wasn't just about cost saving, though it did that. It made the computer a truly viable tool for homes, schools, businesses, storing and accessing information easily. That changed everything.
And it wasn't just a technical detail, right? That's simplicity. It's a philosophy. Elegant constraints leading to better, more accessible products.
Precisely. That was. Throughout all this, his motivation was crystal clear. Build the best, most elegant machine possible.
User experience first.
Always. The craft, the user, the joy of the design itself, that came before maximizing profit.
So we see the technical brilliance, but let's dig into the philosophy, what really drove him. Because his values seem, well, different from the standard Silicon Valley playbook, even back then.
They really were. And what's striking is how consistently he lived by them. First, that idea of engineering excellence over market demands.
Right. Build it right and they will come, essentially.
Pretty much. Prioritize technical elegance, user experience. Don't just chase profit or what the marketing department says. He believed solving problems correctly creates new markets.
You have that quote right. Focus on the user experience first, then find the technology.
To make it possible, yeah. That's a very different mindset from move fast and break things, isn't it?
Worlds apart. It's about craft, patience.
Definitely. Second big theme, democratization of technology.
Making power accessible.
Exactly. Getting sophisticated tools into ordinary people's hands. He saw computers as tools for liberation, creativity, shifting power away from big institutions.
He wanted everyone to feel that power he felt when he was designing.
I think so. Third, his authenticity in innovation.
Meaning he built what interested him.
Yes. Driven by genuine passion, genuine curiosity, not by what VCs wanted or what would sell millions necessarily.
My goal wasn't to make a ton of money, it was to build good computers.
I wanted to sit down and show people my design.
Yeah.
That says it all, doesn't it? Intrinsic motivation.
Powerful stuff. Then there's his integrity.
Honesty and ethical integrity, unshakable. That code came straight from his dad.
He wasn't comfortable with hype, corporate politics.
Not at all. He famously disliked deceptive marketing. He said, I believe in things that are truthful. The laws of physics are honest. It's about being true to the engineering, true to yourself.
A call for integrity, which is always needed.
Always. And finally, we have to circle back to the pranks. The prankster mindset as creativity.
Seeing it not just as jokes, but as.
As creative problem solving, understanding the system, finding the clever workaround, the unconventional angle. That was fundamental to how we approached engineering challenges, too.
It all connects. Okay, so
Yeah.
his life wasn't just achievements. There were these dramatic moments, turning points that really shaped him and I think reinforced these values.
Absolutely. Three really stand out.
First one has to be actually forming Apple, right? The commercialization and the partnership with Jobs.
Yeah, 1976. Apple computer is born. It's the result of all that tinkering, but also the start of something new and complicated.
Complicated how?
Well, it perfectly shows that complementary nature, we talked about, was his tech brilliance, Jobs' vision and business sense, unstoppable combo.
But
it baked in this tension right from the start, engineering purity versus commercial success. How do you keep the design elegant when the market pushes you to cut corners or add features?
The constant push and pull.
Exactly, a challenge they always wrestled with.
Okay, turning point two. Apple gets big and starts feeling uneasy.
Yeah. As it grew from the garage to this huge corporation, the politics, the bureaucracy, it wasn't his scene.
He felt increasingly uncomfortable.
Deeply. And this leads to that incredible act of generosity, giving away millions of dollars worth of his own stock.
To early employees he felt hadn't been treated fairly in the initial stock option.
Right. It just speaks volumes about his values, doesn't it? Putting fairness and his connection to those people above his own personal wealth, a real statement against emerging corporate culture.
Truly remarkable. Then the third one, really dramatic. The plane crash in 1981.
Yeah, a traumatic event. He was piloting his own plane, crashed on takeoff, suffered a head injury.
And amnesia, right. Couldn't form new memories for a while.
Antero-grade amnesia, yeah.
Yeah.
Lasted for weeks. And that experience just forced this major reevaluation of everything.
How so?
He realized his entire identity wasn't just Steve Wozniak, the guy who invented the Apple computer. There had to be more.
A profound shift in perspective.
Huge. It led him to step away from Apple day to day for a while.
And cool.
And what did he do?
Went back to college.
Yeah.
Under an alias.
Classic was to finish his degree. Just for that sense of personal completion. It shows how a major setback can actually clarify what truly matters, away from external labels.
Redefining success on your own terms, that's powerful.
It really is.
So reflecting on all this, his life, his struggles, his triumphs, what are the big human lessons for us beyond the tech story?
Oh, there are so many. One that really resonates is defining success on your own terms, like we just discussed.
Stepping away from Apple when it was huge.
Exactly. To pursue personal fulfillment. Look at what he did after his main Apple stint, organizing those massive U.S. festivals.
Kind of like Woodstock for the 80s tech generation.
Sort of. And then spending 8 years teaching computer classes to fifth graders because he loved it.
That happiness formula, HSF.
Happiness equals smiles minus frowns. So simple, yet so profound. Maximize joy, minimize negativity. What a way to measure your life, especially compared to stock prices or market share.
It's a challenge to that whole narrative. What else?
Persistence through failure and criticism. His attitude towards mistakes is fantastic.
Learn not to fear making mistakes.
The worst that could happen is you'd have to start over, and you'd probably do it better the second time. That's gold. Learning by doing, by trying ambitious things, even if they don't work out perfectly the first time.
Essential for any kind of creativity or problem solving.
Absolutely. And finally, the power of collaboration and open innovation.
The Homebrew Computer Club again.
It's the perfect example. Sharing ideas, building on each other's work, open communication. That's what accelerated everything.
It's a contrast to how secretive some tech development can be now.
It really is. It reminds us that innovation often thrives best when people share their passions openly, when it's not all about protecting IP above everything else.
Okay, so let's distill this down. We've covered a lot. If you were to leave our listeners with three final takeaways from Wozniak's journey, what would they be?
All right, three key insights. First, an emotional insight. Remember that the personal computer, this device that completely reshaped our world, It didn't come from some grand corporate strategy to maximize profit. It emerged from the playful, obsessive, joyous tinkering of one brilliant engineer.
Who just wanted to build the coolest thing he could imagine.
Exactly. Passion and joy are often the real fuel for groundbreaking work, not just the bottom line.
Okay, that's powerful. What's the intellectual takeaway?
An intellectual insight. Truly transformative innovations often happen at the intersection of deep technical skill, genuine curiosity, and a real commitment to the user.
Not just from market research reports or financial models.
Right. Focusing on excellence, on elegance, not just basic functionality or pure profit. That's what creates lasting value that actually changes things.
Build it right. Build it beautifully. Got it. And finally,
a universal insight. The whole idea of the democratization of technology, making complex tools accessible to everyone, is one of the most vital social developments, period.
And its future depends on
upholding those original values. openness, collaboration, and always focusing on the user, we need to keep nurturing those principles that sparked the whole revolution in the first place.
A call to remember the roots. Excellent. So here's a final thought to leave you with. In a world that often feels driven solely by profit and scaling up fast, Wozniak's story really pushes us to ask, are we focused on genuine innovation that empowers people? Or are we just chasing bigger numbers? What beautifully working problem could you tackle just for the sheer joy of solving it? Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive into the mind and, really, the heart of Steve Wozniak. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by eKatra Foundation.